Locked On Red Sox, your daily Boston Red Sox podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Red Sox here on the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Gabrielle, founder of Girl at the Game. And if today's episode sounds a little bit different, it's because I am recording in our bathroom, hiding from our puppy who is desperately in need of sleep, and I'm worried that if she hears me, she will wake up and start crying. So I apologize if it sounds a little bit different on today's episode, but you know what? You gotta do what you gotta do. Today's episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the Locker Room app from the iOS App Store and find one of our Locked On rooms. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. So I'm recording this late at night because honestly, the Red Sox had the day off and I have been obsessively covering games on the show all week long. And so I kind of took a little bit of a day off too, also because, you know, the first day off of the season, I had no idea what to do with myself and I had no idea what to say. It's kind of funny. All winter long, I find other things to amuse myself with, but then the second baseball comes back and the team has a day off, I feel totally lost. I wonder if anybody else feels that way. So today's episode, I wasn't really sure what I was going to talk about at first, but then Joe Musgrove threw the first no-hitter in San Diego Padres history, no-hitting the Texas Rangers tonight. And I thought it would be really interesting to do a little bit of a historical episode since I love doing those during the offseason. And then, of course, I don't really have time to do them during the regular season unless it's just to tie something present to something from the past. So I decided to learn a little bit about the history of Red Sox no-hitters and no-hitters in Major League Baseball. And I think it's really interesting to note that with Joe Musgrove becoming the first Padres pitcher ever to throw a no-hitter, every single Major League franchise has now thrown at least one no-hitter. And I think that that's really cool, but also kind of sad. Not sad for the Padres, obviously, because I'm super happy for them, but I felt this way also when the Nationals won the World Series, and there are only a few teams left that haven't won a World Series, just because the first thing is always really special, and then that's it. It's gone. I kind of felt the same way about reversing the curse in 2004. Obviously, I was over the moon, but all of a sudden, you don't really know where to go from here. So hopefully, this is just the first of many amazing no-hitters and special moments for the Padres. They're a really fun team to watch. There's just kind of this bittersweet joy when a milestone is reached, but then you're not sure what to do next. Again, maybe I'm the only one who feels this way. It's, you know, midnight on a Friday night, and I'm talking about the Padres on Locked On Red Sox, which, by the way, check out Locked On Padres because Javi, you've heard him on this show before. He's amazing. He's a wonderful podcast host, wonderful friend, and he absolutely lost his mind tonight watching Joe Musgrove achieve this amazing accomplishment. Before I get to the Red Sox, I, of course, have to just say one of the other really cool things about this Padres no-hitter is that Joe Musgrove is actually from the San Diego area. He was born and raised there. He grew up a Padres fan, and then he actually got to throw the first no-hitter in Padres franchise history for his lifelong favorite team. And that is just one of those storybook moments. I talked about storybook moments actually earlier this week on the show, but this is just yet another one of those storybook moments where you look at people who don't like baseball and you just can't understand how they don't like it, because baseball is amazing. Baseball is magical. So before I get into Red Sox franchise no-hitters, BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. So if you wanted to bet on Joe Musgrove throwing a no-hitter tonight, you could have done that with BetOnline. Football is over, but the NBA and NHL are in full swing, and if you're not into those, BetOnline even has awards, TV shows, and reality TV. They've got real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. They've got you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. BetOnline is the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up, so go to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast in the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. Now, let's start at the beginning with the Boston Red Sox and their history of no-hitters. I have to just say, the Boston Red Sox have thrown the third most no-hitters in Major League history. They have 18 no-hitters to their franchise name. The White Sox have 19. Dodgers lead Major League Baseball with 26. This isn't exactly surprising. These are three of the oldest teams in Major League Baseball history. But I will say, we will get to this in a minute, there are some pretty significant gaps of time when the Red Sox didn't have one. So I was actually kind of surprised, but then when you think about the fact that nowadays pitchers, it's a much more rare feat for a pitcher to throw a no-hitter, it's actually less surprising than you think, because an older franchise is going to have a lot more of those no-hitters from the dead ball era, you know, early 1900s, when this was a lot more common and prevalent than it is now, the way that pitching is. Even in the last 20 years, pitching has changed so drastically from, like, Pedro Martinez's era, when you think about how many relievers and closers we use now compared to then. So, for starters, there are only two pitchers in Red Sox franchise history who have thrown more than one no-hitter as a member of the Boston Red Sox, and those people are Cy Young and Dutch Leonard. The first Red Sox no-hitter in franchise history belonged to Cy Young, and it was also a perfect game, the third perfect game ever, and the first in American League history, the first of the modern era of Major League Baseball, and it's the only perfect game in Red Sox history. And I know that in the last couple years, we haven't historically had the best pitching, but I will say that some of the best pitchers in baseball history have been Red Sox, and it just shows you how hard it is to achieve this feat. Pedro Martinez never had a no-hitter for the Red Sox or a perfect game. That first Red Sox no-hitter and third perfect game in MLB history of Cy Young was May 5th, 1904. You fast forward to a few months later, August 17th, 1904, Jesse Tannehill pitches the only no-hitter of his career, and this goes to show you how different baseball was back then. A no-hitter, but he only had three strikeouts, and he walked a batter and hit a batter. Now, the following year, Bill Dineen no-hit the same team that Jesse Tannehill had no-hit the year before, the White Sox, on September 27th, 1905. He was coming off a full month of rest with a sore arm, and that afternoon, he struck out six and pitched a no-hitter and ended up pitching four more seasons before retiring, even though he had already been pitching for 7 years at that point and was having a lot of health problems with his arm. 3 years later, the same guy who started this whole thing for the Red Sox threw another no-hitter. At the age of 41 years old, Cy Young became the oldest pitcher to throw a no-hitter when he beat the Highlanders, who are now the New York Yankees. And he held that record posthumously for almost 82 years until Nolan Ryan threw a no-hitter in 1990 when he was 43 years old, 2 years older than Cy Young when he threw his in 1908. 3 years after that second no-hitter, Cy Young retired after the 1911 season. And of course now the most prestigious pitching award in Major League Baseball is named after him. Fast forward 3 years. During Cy Young's final season, another no-hitter was thrown, but it was not thrown by him. Smokey Joe Wood no-hit the Browns, who are now the Baltimore Orioles. And even though this was obviously still an incredible feat when he accomplished it on July 29th, 1911, Joe Wood's best season actually came the next year in 1912. He won 16 consecutive games, which is crazy, especially when you consider the fact that back then, wins and losses for pitchers actually meant something, and they really don't nowadays. 5 years later, Rube Foster joined Cy Young as the only Red Sox pitchers to complete a no-hitter against the Yankees, and Rube Foster was the first pitcher to throw a no-hitter at Fenway Park. But again, low strikeouts for these guys. He totaled three strikeouts, and he walked three. This was June 21st, 1916, and the Red Sox beat the Yankees, formerly the Highlanders, 2-0. Barely 2 months later, not even 2 months later, Dutch Leonard comes on the scene, throws the first no-hitter of his career on August 30th, 1916, again against the poor Browns. Red Sox win 4-0, and only two Browns reach base that day, again at Fenway Park. So Fenway Park, love that for Fenway Park, already on the scene, multiple no-hitters in its early years. Fenway Park at this point is less than 4 years old. Now, finally, this is the funniest of the dead ball era Red Sox no-hitters, in my opinion. And of course, it belongs to Babe Ruth. On June 23rd, 1917, Babe Ruth and Ernie Shore combined for a no-hitter. But Babe Ruth was recorded as zero outs and Ernie Shore went 9 innings. This is what happened. Ernie Shore was not supposed to pitch that day. But Babe Ruth got ejected from his start because he punched the umpire, Brick Owens. This was pitching Bambino, and already so much attitude from the guy who would end up being the Sultan of SWAT with the Yankees. But in his pitching days, he was already a firecracker. He walked the first batter he faced, but then accused the umpire Owens of missing two balls. Owens told Ruth to go back to pitching and threatened that he would run him out of there. And Ruth said, "You run me out and I will come in and bust you on the nose," which like is the most old-timey, hokey threat. Sounds like something you would see in a black and white movie, but that's what Babe Ruth said. And Owens said, "Get out of there right now." Ruth lunged at him, swinging, punched Owens on the left side of his head, and then got dragged off the field by the manager and several policemen, and he was subsequently suspended. So Ernie Shore came in to pitch and retired all 26 batters he faced and struck out two. Again, the low strikeouts. This is wild to me. But his performance was not labeled a perfect game since he was relieving Ruth, but if it had been, it would have been the third such game of the modern era, joining Cy Young, who threw the first one. And it would have been the fifth ever if it had counted. So, of course, Bambino with the wild story. And in the final year, pre-curse of the Bambino, Dutch Leonard threw the second no-hitter of his career on June 3rd, 1918, 1 month before he left the Red Sox, to join the Four River Shipyard team to circumvent the World War I draft. Now, before I get into live ball era Red Sox no-hitters, let's talk about Built Bar. Because if there was any protein bar on the market that was the food equivalent of a no-hitter, it's Built Bars. They make the best tasting protein bars on the market, and they have 18 amazing flavors, including nut and nut-free flavors. These bars are soft and easy to chew, so you don't have to worry about breaking a tooth when you're eating them. And each bar is coated in 100% chocolate. So these bars are great if you're looking to lose or maintain weight, but you, like me, still want to indulge in a delicious treat once in a while. They're great for an afternoon pick-me-up where you want a guilt-free snack that tastes good, because a lot of those guilt-free snacks are like celery, and look, I love celery, but it just doesn't hit the same as a chocolate-coated Built Bar. And because Built Bar loves us almost as much as we love them, they are giving our listeners 15% off when you go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKED15. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at builtbar.com. Be a waiver wire winner with the Locked On Fantasy Baseball podcast. It's a daily fantasy baseball podcast hosted by veteran fantasy analyst Scott Cullen, who uses data and nearly two decades of fantasy baseball experience to offer the strategies and waiver wire pickups that lead to league wins. Follow Locked On Fantasy Baseball on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. Now let's get into the live ball era, because there are fewer of them going forward. September 7th, 1923, the first Red Sox no-hitter of the live ball era, Howard Emke no-hits the Athletics, who were not yet in Oakland, at Scheib Park in a 94-minute game. Can you imagine a 94-minute game? It's actually really funny because Dave O'Brien this week was saying that he thinks there's only one game of his career that he has called that was less than 2 hours long. And here, Howard Emke is one of just 10 pitchers of the 231 on record since 1908 to throw a no-hitter with one strikeout or less. He held the A's hitless in 94 minutes. I mean, that's just pretty baller. And this is where it gets kind of crazy and shows you how much baseball was changing during this time. Because after 1923, no Red Sox pitcher threw a no-hitter until July 14th, 1956, when Mel Parnell no-hit the White Sox 4-0. It was their first no-hitter in 23 years, and yes, there were a lot of dark years for the Red Sox during that time, but there were also a lot of talented players on the Red Sox during that time. So Mel Parnell comes in 23 years after Howard Emke. He throws the first Red Sox no-hitter, and he said at the time, "Honestly, I didn't worry about the no-hitter. I wanted the win." But after the game, not only was he, of course, getting cheers and, you know, congratulations from all over, he received a $500 reward. And So I looked up what a $500 award in 1956 would be equivalent to now in 2021. And according to a site called in2013dollars.com/US inflation, they calculated that $500 in 1956 is equivalent to about $4,834.82 today. The dollar had an average inflation rate of 3.55% per year between 1956 and today, which produces a cumulative price increase of 866.96%, which also means that today's prices are 9.67 times higher than the average prices since 1956. And I double checked it just to make sure, and dollartimes.com gave me a similar number. Adjusted for inflation, $500 in 1956 is equal to $4,860 now. Good Lord, must be nice to A, be able to pitch so well that you can be a Major League Baseball player, and then pitch so well that you can throw a no-hitter for the Boston Red Sox, and then on top of it, you get like almost $5,000 or the 1956 equivalent for doing it. So cool. I'm very jealous. I'm not even going to try to hide it. A few years later, June 26, 1962, Earl Wilson throws the next no-hitter for the Boston Red Sox. And when he finished the game, he actually fell to his knees on the mound and prayed while the ball landed in the glove of Gary Geiger, who was the center fielder in 1962. At 26 years old, Wilson was the first Black player to pitch for the Boston Red Sox and became the first Black pitcher in American League history to complete a no-hitter, and it was at Fenway Park. So interestingly enough, shortly thereafter, on August 1st, 1962, his teammate Bill Mombaquette also completed a no-hitter. He was one walk away from pitching a perfect game, which would have been the second perfect game in franchise history, and it was again against the White Sox. I don't know what the deal is between these two Sox teams, but there are a lot of no-hitters in this history. But Mombaquette was a Boston native, and he came this close, literally one walk away from pitching a perfect game. But always love when it's a homegrown guy too, right? Finally, on September 16th, 1965, Dave Moorhead no-hit the Cleveland Indians, and he also came extremely close to throwing a perfect game. Apparently, like his teammate, in the same season, also was one walk away, had a perfect game that was spoiled by one walk. Absolutely crazy. And this is where it gets pretty crazy, because after Moorhead's 1965 no-hitter, no Red Sox pitcher throws a no-hitter until Hideo Nomo on April 4th, 2001. It was his Red Sox debut, and he pitched the first no-hitter at Oriole Park at Camden Yards, and it was the earliest calendar date for a no-hitter in history. And it was his second career no-hitter because he threw one for the Dodgers at Coors Field 5 years before in 1996. So on that day, not only did he set some special records, reach some milestones for the Red Sox and the Orioles, but he also became one of just four pitchers who have thrown a no-hitter in both the American League and the National League. The following year, on April 27th, Derek Lowe of 2004 fame pitched a no-hitter where he walked a batter and struck out six, and the Red Sox beat the Rays 10-0. He threw this at Fenway Park, and it was the first no-hitter at Fenway in 37 years, and he said, "It's surreal. I still don't think I did what I did, as crazy as that sounds. I still think it happened to somebody else, because you don't ever think something like this can happen to you." And his hat and shoes from that day were added to the Red Sox Hall of Fame. Derek Lowe had one of the most interesting up-and-down roller coaster careers with the Red Sox when it came to the bullpen and his 2004 postseason experience. But the year before his no-hitter, in 2001, he had been demoted to the bullpen. And in 2004, he wasn't even supposed to be on the playoff roster, and he ended up starting the deciding game of every single series in the 2004 playoff run. You don't win the World Series in 2004 and reverse the curse without Derek Lowe, and it just shows you how much resilience this guy had. I absolutely love his story, and I just don't think he gets talked enough about. He was teammates with Pedro, so, you know, of course he's not getting talked enough about. Now, fast forward a few years, and on September 1st, 2007, this is so cool. Clay Buchholz threw a no-hitter, and the score was the same. Different opponent, it was Red Sox-Orioles, but back-to-back no-hitters by the Red Sox in 2002 and 2007 the Red Sox beat a team 10-0. First it was the Rays in 0-2, and then they beat the Orioles 10-0 with Clay Buchholz throwing a no-hitter. So Clay Buchholz had made his first career start, and when he did that, Terry Francona said, it doesn't matter if he throws a no-hitter, he's going back down. And he was sent back down to the minors after his debut. He was 23 years old, he was a rookie, but he came back 15 days later, and in his second major league start, because Tim Wakefield was out with a sore back, Buchholz took the mound and totally shoved it back in Francona's face, because in his second career start, he threw a no-hitter, and he was only the 22nd rookie to accomplish the feat. Finally, we have reached the most recent and one of the most special no-hitters in franchise history, and that was May 19th, 2008, less than a year after Clay Buchholz, and it belongs to John Lester. The Red Sox beat the Royals 7-0. John Lester was 24 years old, and he had come back from battling anaplastic large cell lymphoma. He only allowed 2 walks. He threw a career-high 130 pitches, and he said it was one of his most special memories at Fenway Park. And even though he's a 3-time World Series champion, 5-time All-Star, NLCS MVP, and has had such an incredible career, I totally see why that would be one of the best moments of his career. So this has been your deep dive into the history of Red Sox career no-hitters. And I hope you enjoyed learning about these guys as much as I did. And congratulations again to Joe Musgrove and the San Diego Padres. They're such a fun team. He's a really talented pitcher. My apologies to the Texas Rangers because you got absolutely stomped on tonight. But what a cool night. Baseball is awesome. We are 1 week into the season and we've already got teams making history. I just love that. So the Red Sox play Saturday evening at 7 p.m. against the Orioles again at Camden Yards. And I will be, of course, covering the game on Twitter. So come hang out with me at GFSTARR1. You can check out Locked On Red Sox at LO_Red Sox. Make sure to follow on Apple or Spotify so you never miss an episode. Wear your masks. And as always, go Red Sox.